Hi, my name is Paul Baines. I'm Professor of Political Marketing at the University of Leicester and co-author of Marketing 5th Edition by Oxford University Press with Chris Phil, Sarah Rosengren and Paolo Antonetti. This is the podcast for Chapter 1, Marketing Principles and Practice. In this chapter, we define the concept of marketing. We talk about what marketing is, where it's come from, and how the concept has developed, largely over the course of the 20th century. We also talk about how marketing is developing into the 21st century. We talk about certain specialist concepts in marketing, the concept of exchange, and the long-standing concept of the marketing mix, which is how marketing is actually deployed in business practice. We talk about three major contexts of marketing application, and that's consumer goods marketing, business-to-business marketing, and services marketing. We talk about those because marketing has special characteristics in those contexts. And we also talk about the positive contribution that marketing actually makes to society. And we consider negative contributions to society from marketing in our final chapter. So let's begin. Really, the concept of marketing has evolved largely since the development of professional bodies in marketing, the Charles Institute of Marketing and the American Marketing Association played in very important roles. But the concept of marketing is really, the Charles Institute of Marketing defined the concept as the management process responsible for identifying, anticipating and satisfying customer requirements profitably, which is a little bit of a limited definition because it refers to customer requirements, and more recently the American Marketing Association has offered a wider definition, which is that marketing is the activity set of institutions and processes for creating, communicating, delivering and exchanging offerings that have value for customers, clients, partners and societies at large. And that really recognises this wider definition of marketing. It's important to understand that marketing is about customers, as you would expect, and consumers. But what's the difference between customers and consumers? Well, if you think of the customer as the person that pays the money, and the consumer as the person that eats the product or uses the product, then that's quite helpful. So a child, probably a young child, probably doesn't have the money to buy something themselves, but they might eat it. So for example, if you bought your child a Snickers bar, then you are the customer and the child is the consumer. And that, I think, makes that concept very clear. But it's important because sometimes people, regardless of whether they're children or not, even if they're adults, can be consumers rather than customers. So, for example, this textbook that you've bought, you're the customer. But in fact, it was probably referred to you by a professor, a lecturer, or a library, in which case, you're the consumer. In which case, the library is the customer if they paid for it. Now, if you paid for the book, you're the customer. But there is that slight difference in terms of who the customer is and who the consumer is, and whether there's a referrer also in the relationship. And that changes the nature of how you interact with these people in order to encourage sales and so on. We talk about different important concepts in this chapter, such as market orientation, which is the idea that the whole organisation should be focused around creating satisfying customers, that's an important concept because marketing is essentially too big to be left to purely the marketing division. An organisation can't be market oriented purely through the marketing function. Marketing has to work with lots of other functions to achieve this customer satisfying organisation, and that's a very important concept. Most people in practice don't realise that until they start working in marketing. And even then, it can be very difficult to engineer these relationships between marketing and other functions, such as R&D, supply chain management, operations, finance, and so on. We also look at the difference between sales and marketing. How is sales and marketing different? And to some extent, sales is changing quite considerably as well, but as is marketing and evolving. But the broad difference is that sales tends towards the short-term satisfaction of customer needs, part of the value delivery process, Marketing tends towards the long-term satisfaction of customers' needs. It's part of the design and development of customer value processes. And there are other differences, but those are key ones. If we think about marketing's key principles, then, you know, there are various generalizations that are possible. The nature of the fact that advertising has a direct and positive influence on total industry sales, for example. The fact that selective advertising has a direct and positive influence on individual company sales. The fact that the elasticity of selective advertising on company brand sales is low. The elasticity being, frequently purchased goods. For frequently purchased goods, advertising has only a very limited effect in raising sales. Another generalisation, a kind of law in marketing, is that increasing store shelf space has a positive impact on the sales of non-staple grocery items, such as products bought on impulse, things like ice cream and chocolate bars, rather than those that are planned purchases, which are less important but perhaps more luxurious types of food, for example, gravy mixes, cooking sauces and so on. And the final kind of law of marketing is that distribution, defined by the number of outlets, has a positive influence on company sales. So setting up more retail locations has a positive influence on sales, which is fairly obvious, really. Marketing is, of course, an exchange process with a manufacturer. The manufacturers are offering credit facilities, return facilities, distribution arrangements, and, of course, the product itself and other services. And the retailer to whom the manufacturer is selling is paying money. The wholesale price for the goods. So that's the exchange, and what marketers need to do is facilitate that exchange. If you look at the relationship between a university and a student, for example, the exchange is that the university provides higher education, career and continuing professional development services, and the student provides public funds, donations, philanthropy, course fees and research grants. So that's the kind of thing that we would see. So to move on then, we also look at the marketing mix. Now, the marketing mix is a long-standing concept in marketing, hugely important. And in fact, the original marketing mix had about 12 items. Nowadays, though, we consider the marketing mix as the four Ps. The four Ps are, of course, product, place, price and promotion. And place is often distribution, considered as distribution. So What is the product? What is the offering itself? How does it meet the customer's needs? Its packaging and its labelling. How do we design the system of delivery by which the customer receives the product? How much do we charge the customer in order that they see the value of the product, but also provide sufficient funds to the company selling that the company can generate a profit and continue to in business? And of course promote the product, the final P, which is how is the offerings, benefits and features communicated to the potential buyer. So that's the marketing mix, a very important concept, a long-standing concept. We extend the four P's to seven P's for services. So the four P's that we just talked about are appropriate for products, physical, tangible goods, for services which are intangible. Then we add a further three P's, which are physical evidence, process and people. So physical evidence is the an emphasis on the tangible components of services that are strategically important, such as the service scape, for example, for a university or for a football club, which is of course a service. We buy the watching of the football, not the football and the team itself. The process, what are the processes for a service? So the DHL International, German International Express, Transport and Air Freight companies are master at producing a standardised menu of service options such as track and trace delivery and so on. And people, who are the people delivering the service, matters enormously if you think about it, whether that's a university such as the lecturers and professors that are teaching you, or in a law firm where it's about how skillful the lawyers are, what level they are, whether they're a partner or an associate or a senior associate and so on. More recently, marketing has shifted into, certainly in the 1990s, marketing moved into an area which recognised that marketing wasn't a transactional. The exchange approach to marketing was seen as to be a bit passé, really, and that marketing actually needed to shift towards recognising the relationship, the importance of relationships between customers and trust, the trust that you would place with the company that you're buying from, whether that's a B2B sale or a B2C sale, B2B being business to business, B2C being business to consumer. And so relationship marketing was born around the 90s, this idea that it's important to develop trust and to commit to working with an organisation. And if that happened, then, of course, sales would increase. But it also, the relationship marketing movement was also quite important for recognising. In fact, it wasn't just about acquiring new customers. It was about treating the customers that you already had pretty well. Because if you've got a whole bunch of customers, but they're all disappearing after 6 months or a year because they don't like what they're receiving, the so-called leaky bucket problem, then you need to acquire new ones. So there's little point in acquiring new ones if you keep losing them, especially if you're losing them at a very fast rate. Ultimately, your company will go bust. And it is entirely possible for you to have a product that sells very well, but for you to treat your customers badly so that they fall off. And that happened to Tesco. Tesco's market share dropped in the last few years between 2015 and 2018 by certainly 3 or 4%, and that's because people started to think that Tesco were not really looking after them, and the result was, of course, a loss in market share, which they are starting to get back as it happens because they've improved their systems and interactions with customers. Now, in the noughties, we started to talk about service-dominant logic, and that's the idea that even a physical product is really actually some sort of service. The benefits it bestows on a customer is essentially a service. So a bottle of water is not a bottle of water per se. We don't buy it because it's a bottle of water. We buy it because it quenches our thirst. We buy it for the benefits that it provides us, which is a form of service. Inherently, the quark, if you like, of marketing is service-based. And that's the idea behind thinking known as service-dominant logic, which has become very, very important in marketing. So we've talked about various different concepts. It's important to recognise that marketing has a context. There is a consumer goods context. There is a services context, and there is a business-to-business concept. And with a services, with a consumer goods perspective, it's really all about managing supply and demand. We do need to stimulate demand from consumers. Focus is placed on the use of advertising to stimulate demand and market research to determine develop consumer products, and that so-called fast-moving consumer goods approach to advertising is very common. You'll be very familiar with it as people who are regularly buying consumer goods, things like shampoo, chocolate count line products at the supermarket, supermarket products and so on. You'll be very aware of how those are marketed to you because that's in your lives every day. The services perspective, somewhat different. Services cannot be protected by patent in the same way that products can. They lack a physical display, and they cannot be demonstrated in the same way. You can't show a product. You can show a product, but you can't show a service per se. You can deliver a service as kind of taster, but it's not quite the same thing. So services require a slightly different approach to marketing, and we talk about that in much more detail later in the book, in chapter 14. In the business-to-business perspective, it's recognition that actually B2B customers are much more professional in their buying behaviour than your average consumer or customer, in the sense that a B2B purchaser would, well, it may not be just one person, it may be a group of people in a decision-making unit. So a whole bunch of people may make the B2B decision. But because it's critical to a business, they're usually professional buyers, and they've got a lot of training in buying. They've got a lot of understanding of different prices and what's a good price and what's not a good price, what they should be paying, what they shouldn't be paying. And this sort of thing completely changes the nature of marketing to that group of people. Marketing's impact on society, positive impact on society, of course, has created some amazing products over the years. Everything from chocolate bars by J.S. Fry and Sons in the UK in 1847, to ketchup by F&J Heinz and Company in the United States, to cartons from Tetra Pak in Sweden in 1951, to artificial sweeteners by Kultor in Finland in 1969. Barcodes came to us in 1970s by Monarch Marketing in the United States and Plessy Telecommunications in the UK. The personal computer was developed by International Business Machines, now known as IBM, in the United States in 1980. So these are phenomenal inventions that were brought to us through the marketing system, if you like. Without them, where would the world be today? Consider more recent inventions such as Bluetooth from Ericsson in Sweden in 1994, social networking by Facebook Incorporated in the United States in 2004, and the app-based, what about Uber Technologies in the United States, 2009, the app-based transportation and food delivery service. And, of course, looking into the future from 2019 onwards, we're going to see all sorts of new inventions, which some of which may revolutionise the world. But how those goods and services actually permeate through society is the function of marketing. Thank you for listening.